Welcome back to another episode of the Puck Rambles Podcast. Today we talk previews, who's first, who's last, and who will surprise you. Let's do this.
How's it going, buddy?
Good. How you doing?
Fancy. A whole week has gone by since the last time we spoke. Hockey. And more hockey has been happening, buddy.
Yeah, it's back. Nearly back. We've been getting some games. Yes. I watched a lot of hockey this week. I probably watched like 4 or 5 games.
A lot of preseason hockey going on right now.
Yeah.
Not the best hockey in the world, but hockey nonetheless.
No, but it's cool also to, like, you know, see some of the kids. You, like, never heard of these guys, and you're like, whoa, that dude's actually pretty good. Who is that?
Like McDavid.
So it's still kind
interesting,
of fun.
Interesting to watch McDavid play a little bit. He's a pretty good at hockey. You know who else is pretty good at hockey? That Buffalo kid.
Man, he's... Yeah, the thing I noticed right away about Eichel is... He might have better hands than McDavid.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, he really, like, he just, he reminds me a lot of Kane, the way he handles the puck.
The Patrick Kane, not the Evander?
Yeah, not his teammate Evander, who's a heck of a hockey player, but doesn't quite handle the puck, doesn't quite have the silky mitts that Patrick Kane has. No, he reminds me like that, the way he handles the puck. It's just so smooth. It's
That's
so smooth.
Insane,
it's so fluid.
Mate.
And he's a good player. Look, I mean, look, McDavid is going to be the better hockey player. But that's, you know, Buffalo did, you know, they got a good player. They got a good player there.
They did better than what Edmonton's done in the past 5 years in terms of picking first-rounders.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah, they did. And, you know, they just got to look at it as like, hey, any other year, we would have got the best player, you know,
sure.
In Eichel. And he's a really good player. And there was a moment last week I was watching and then I read about it later where he's, you know, taking a face-off in the defensive zone, which, you know, again, it's preseason, but... throwing an 18-year-old kid out there, you know, as a center in the defensive zone, taking a face-off. And he's telling Molson and Ennis what to do. And they didn't take offense to it. And, you know, we just, you know that veteran hockey players, they do not like that kind of stuff, right?
Mm.
At all, coming from rookies. But they were just saying, I was reading it, they were like, nope, we didn't take it. It wasn't disrespectful. This kid knows what he's doing. You know, he's a winner. He's got a great hockey IQ. And yeah, like, we're behind him. So
you're talking about captain material already.
He's without a doubt the future captain for sure. And
I'll always remember Eichel for the Buffalo I'm coming for you gif or gif, whatever it is, where he's chugging that beer and just looks up to his left and just
that's awesome.
Stares at the camera and just says, Buffalo I'm coming for, which yeah. The odds said that 80% he was going to Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. As the number one overall, huh? But not the...
As the number two overall.
Yeah.
Of course. 80% chance he's number two overall going to Buffalo.
Yeah.
20% chance he wasn't going to Buffalo.
Yeah, there's nothing for Buffalo fans to feel sorry about at all.
A lot to like about Eichel compared to McDavid.
McDavid is a phenomenal hockey player. Like you said, watching him this week... he made a really subtle play today on...
With his skate?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the yes. Taylor Hall goal where, you know, he gets the puck, it's behind him, he just kicks it up to his skate, almost loses his balance because he's got to sort of, you know, take it off the skate behind him. But, you know, throws it back towards the net, Taylor Hall pops it in. You're probably going to see that a couple of times this year.
Yeah, the thing that was amazing about that play was... It wasn't a soccer play where he was kicking that puck up.
No, he
was kicking that puck sideways up.
Yeah, he kind of like, it was like a shuffle. It was like a little shuffle kind of dance move almost. Yeah, he didn't kick it. It wasn't a soccer kick.
Exactly, which should prevent you from accelerating or moving forward, but actually just didn't change anything about his movement, which is amazing about a what he actually did with that play.
Yeah, I think what we're saying is hockey's in a great place, man. It really is. I can't, even growing up like in the 90s, like there are so many great hockey players right now. This league is in a great spot.
They keep coming in, too.
There's just a ton of talent to showcase now. And I think the league's in a great spot. I'm really happy with the way where the league is at right now. And, yeah, I'm fired up for the season.
And it started with Crosby and Ovechkin, and it hasn't stopped since.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It did start with those guys, and it hasn't stopped. It hasn't really slowed down. Like, it just keeps – we keep getting these phenomenal players. And this year, 3-on-3, we're going to see just how skilled they are and how great these players are with all that ice. Unfortunately, we won't see it for too long because most of those 3-on-3 yes. games are going to end within like a minute. But you know, we've all got the technology to watch it over and over again. So that's great.
Oh, which is great, which means a lot, though, because it does mean that the 3-on-3 is working. And it is progress, which is what we need in the NHL, is a bit more progress in terms of getting things moving along in terms of offense. We're here to talk about the standings. We're here to talk about the 2015-2016 season. Let's get into this, bud. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference. Let's talk about the Atlantic, the Metropolitan. Let's talk about the Western Conference. Talk about the Central, the Pacific. Who's in, who's out? I'm going to ask you very, very simply, who is going to be top dog in each division and who is going to be the worst team in that particular division? And of course, I'd like to know perhaps a surprise team, either a surprise team out or a surprise team in.
Wow.
So okay. Let's start with the Atlantic division. Give me three teams. Give me a top dog, give me a bottom feeder, and give me a... I bet you didn't know this about this team.
Atlantic Division, I got to go with Tampa. I think Tampa's going to do it. Although I thought about this the other day, and I also heard this the other day. I think in the last, I can only think of two teams
mm-hmm.
that went to the Stanley Cup Final and the next year won the Stanley Cup in the last many, many, many years. I can think of Pittsburgh in 2009, 2008, 2009.
Special team.
Okay, and then I think I have to go all the way back to 1984 Edmonton Oilers.
Again, a special team.
Is that correct? Is there any team in between there? I haven't looked it up. This is sort of off the top of my head here. I just couldn't think of any other team. Two teams in basically the last 30 years.
Either way, if those are the only teams that have done that, you're talking about special teams. Teams that are particularly good within the NHL. You're talking about the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, that's dynasty. That's one of the greatest teams ever assembled.
And you're talking about a Pittsburgh team that shoulda, coulda, woulda. You're talking about a Pittsburgh team that were supposed to be the new Edmonton Oilers coming in. You know, where something happened along the way, perhaps mismanaged, perhaps miscast, but either way, they were the team at that time to make that step.
Oh man, we've talked about that so many times. Yeah,
Is Tampa in that zone?
Yeah,
They're not. Period. They're not, and I'll tell you why they're not. Their second line, which is the line that brought them to the Stanley Cup Finals. We talked about Johnson, Kucherov, and Palat, right? That team, again, that line, was shooting at a higher rate than they should have. Whoever has that line in their fantasy this year is up for a little bit of a surprise because they're not going to be able to reproduce what they did last year.
Are you taking a shot at me because I've got Palat on my team? Is that what's going on here?
Palat is going to go wherever Johnson and Kucherov go. Kucherov is actually the best player on that line.
Yeah, he's pretty phenomenal. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he might be able to reproduce, but those other two probably won't.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see.
And unless Johnson can do it up, but again, shooting percentage was way too high. Same as Calgary, way too high for that line.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was saying, like, are they that team? They're obviously not the 84 Oilers. I don't even know if they're the 2009 Pens. But what I was saying is, are they the team that could get back there?
Mm-hmm.
I think they could get back there. I could easily see them in the Eastern Conference Final again. I see them winning the Atlantic. The bottom feeder, it's got to be Toronto. I think Buffalo is going to improve a lot. But
okay, I'll ask you about Buffalo then. Are they going 500?
I think they could. I think they could go right around 500. I think they could go for about 80 to 85 points maybe.
Big, big jump.
Which is a huge jump, yeah. But 80 and 85 points is still going to put you like 10, 15 points out of the playoffs. So it's really insane. Not close to the playoffs. But they're getting there. And as we said, Eichel, good player. Evander Kane is there. He's going to put the puck in the net. They've also got a guy by the name of Ryan O'Reilly. That's going to help them. Robert Leonard, for me, is the big, big, big question mark on that team. But they should be a lot better. But a lot better is not playoff
good enough.
Better.
Yeah,
they're not making it.
So let's talk about Toronto. Why do you think they're going to be bottom feeders this year in terms of the Atlantic Division?
Because they do not have very many good hockey players on their team.
They've fallen so hard.
What can we say?
They've fallen so hard. They're down to Kadri as their number one centerman, which is talent. That guy has talent. They've got JVR on his left wing. Talent.
I think Kadri will. It'll be hard for him because Babcock is a hard ass. He's very hard on his players. Even just the other day, he called out all the veterans.
You know what he called out? He called out Loophole.
Yeah, but he called out Loophole today or last week. He'll call out Kadri next week. He'll call out JVR the next week. He'll call out everybody. That's what he does. But I think if Kadri has the right mindset, if he has the right attitude and work ethic, he could really, really turn into a very, very complete hockey player. Because
he
is talented.
He's a good
hockey player. But you know what's going on there? They don't really have a whole lot. You've got Riley Gardner on the back. You've got a couple of guys that'll be up there in a couple of years, and Nylander
Mitch
Marner. But yeah, it's gonna take a while. They don't have a whole lot. Plus, there's a ton of guys there that are only there until the trade deadline. Basically, is Daniel Winnick finishing the season with this team? Probably not. Who's the other guy? Boys is another one. Brad Boys.
Yes, Boys.
So, you know, I don't know. They're finishing in the bottom. They're not better than anybody in that division.
They're filling up their cupboards, and that's why they got all these PTOs going on. That's why they got these one-way contracts, or one-year contracts, I should say, in order to, you know, turn them over for second-rounders, third-rounders, fourth-rounders come next year or 2 years down the road in order to replenish those cupboards that are completely empty apart from two or three prospects.
They've been empty for a long time. Yeah.
Okay.
How about you? Is there a surprise team in this division? Surprising good, surprising bad?
Surprising good, surprising bad? Not to me, not really, because of Detroit. Detroit, to me, is the biggest X factor in that division. They are in transition as we speak. I mean, you could talk about this more than I could, but like they're in transition as we speak. But are they finally going to be missing the playoffs this year? Because they haven't missed in I don't know how long, in like 20 semi-years or so?
Basically since the internet was invented.
Exactly, since the internet started.
You could go back in time and look it up. But you couldn't look it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't Google it the last time they missed it.
Exactly. So basically, they haven't missed the playoffs in a generation.
Yeah.
So they should be missing the playoffs at some point. They missed it last. They were supposed to miss it last year. They didn't.
Yeah.
They actually got 100 points last year, which is quite good.
Yeah, and they stopped playing. They had that huge, huge, huge drop-off at the end of the season. I mean, they should have.
Where they were in a race for the playoffs, but then Datsyuk woke up, and Zetterberg woke up, and the guys, you know, who had something riding on it actually woke up. But it brings me down to the surprise team is going to have to be Boston. This is a make it or break it year for Boston in terms of their core. They're either in or they're either out in terms of Chara, in terms of Rask. who's going to be here next year and a year following and the year after.
Yep.
But in terms of like Krejci, Bergeron, and so on, is this working? Is this finally going to be the year where things are moving forward as opposed to backwards? Because they've been going backwards ever since they made the playoffs, ever since they made the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, they... And isn't it funny too, right? That series against Chicago, I think after the third of, I think it was the third game where they went up 2-1. It was like, oh man, this is over. Yeah, this is over. It's just locked down. Chicago's gotten nothing.
Exactly.
And they just came back and won 3 straight games. And
because yeah, they're Chicago,
lights out. We're done. We're out of here. Stanley Cup, taking it back to Chicago. Yeah, I'm with you. I really think Detroit and Boston are the sort of X factors in this division, and I don't know if they're surprise teams, but yeah, we'll see what happens with them, and I think that's going to determine the rest of this division, because you know Tampa Bay is going to be there, Montreal should be there, they have a better team than they get credit for, maybe not as good as some people give them credit for, but they're not just Carey Price at all, there's a lot more to that team than that. Detroit, they are a team in transition, and I'm afraid that they're in a team in transition that isn't making the right choices right now, because I do think that they should be giving some of the younger guys, like a guy like Dylan Larkin, who's just been lighting it up in the preseason, including a head-to-head matchup against Kessel and Crosby. It's preseason, I know. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. But he's ready. Is he going to get a chance? I don't know. So... it's a team in transition. Are they making the right choices as far as the way they're putting this team together? I don't know.
Boston? How much of that is entry-level contracts allowing...
Everything. It's 100%. 100%.
Exactly. It's just money. It's not about talent. It's not about the...
No. It's not about talent. This guy, I think, would make a lot of teams.
Exactly. But that's what it's about, though. It's about the money coming in and the money going out.
It is, but it's also about the mismanagement of the team when you give Dan Cleary another contract who cannot play hockey for the fifth straight year in a row, which is why people are starting to lose their confidence in...
But that's different, though, because you're talking about a handshake deal. That's what Dan Cleary is.
A handshake deal, which is actually illegal in the CBA, and Detroit should be punished.
You're talking about gentlemen's agreement.
Yeah. There's not always great choices going on. They're already banged up, so I could see them finishing in that third spot. I could also see them missing the playoffs, which wouldn't be a bad thing. Because if they miss the playoffs and, hey, they get another top, 12, 13, 14 pick, then they've already got a great group of prospects now. So if they add to that, that could really come together down the line. But I'm with you on Boston. They've got Spooner, Pasternak. They've got some good young pieces. They've still got Bergeron, Marchand, and Krejci. But what's on the back end? You've got a 39-year-old Zdeno Chara, who, I'm sorry, is not a 39-year-old Lidstrom. It's not the same thing there.
Doesn't play the same game.
He's banged up. Yeah, doesn't play the same game. He's expected to be out there, be a monster. How long is he going to be able to do that? Torrey Krug, he's not intimidating anyone. And what else you got there?
Well, you got injured players.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Tampa for me, Toronto on the bottom, and I think it's a toss-up. I think Montreal's in that top three. And you got Detroit, Ottawa, Boston, Florida could be a surprise team. They're all kind of in it for that third, fourth spot.
Yeah, to me, number three is all about Detroit or Boston. Ottawa's out, Florida's out, Toronto's out, Buffalo's out. Let's move on to the Met. Give me your top team in the Met, your bottom team in the Temp, and perhaps a surprise team, which actually I think is probably obvious. What is your top team in the Met?
You're throwing me off with the obvious here. Now I'm thinking that I might come off as a complete idiot for not getting this. I got to think Washington is going to be up there. They are probably the most... They're probably the deepest team that they've been...
Go back to what we said. Yeah, exactly. Go with that.
In a decade. Yeah?
Exactly. They're the best team that's ever been around in Washington. Ever.
Again. Yeah, like San Jose. And like St. Louis.
These teammates. Ever.
But they are good. They've got a great top six. Bottom six is rounded out. Their defense is solid.
Good.
Holtby, great. Really, really, really came into his own last year.
Great.
He played 72 games last year.
How much
this year?
coaching come into Holpe?
Mitch Korn
has been doing wonders when it comes to Pekka Rinne, and he's doing wonders when it comes to...
Oh, he's Pekka Rinne's coach too, or was?
Or was, yeah. He is basically the goalie coach that comes in with Trost. He's doing wonders with Holpe.
Right. Okay, yeah, Rinne, Nashville, Holpe.
The guy lives out of his car. He's got all of his suits in his car. He basically lives in his car.
Yeah. This is the guy that was on the
24/7. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
The guy's got some, I don't know, some fancy lights going on and some drapes over the goalie when it comes to pucks hitting him. Whatever. I don't know what's going on, but it's working. And I love the fact that innovation is coming through when it comes to Washington goaltending.
Yeah. And he played what? He played 72 games last year, so I expect Holpe to play.
Played all of them. All of them, and when he was sleeping, exactly. There were more games, and they just put pads on him, and they just shot packs at him.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect him to play every single game this year. Every game. All of them. Every game. Washington's finishing first. They have to. The one thing that's tricky about this division, though, in all seriousness, is it's a pretty good division. Now, with Washington, Rangers, Islanders, Pittsburgh, Columbus, even Philly is going to cause a little trouble.
Yes.
They're going to be taking a lot of points from each other. But, you know, again, there are still three-point games. We cannot forget that, even though there's three-on-three overtime. there's three-point games, so you might see a lot of those there. For me, Washington's finishing first. I got to think that Carolina or Jersey is on the bottom again.
Which one? You got to pick one.
Carolina.
Yes, by far, though. To me, it's bottom feeders.
It could be Jersey, though. It really could. Jersey. But they still got Schneider there. I'm going to go Carolina. Carolina's on the bottom.
Carolina has got to do something. This is ridiculous. It's been year after year. Carolina has got to break things down. Stahl is asking for money. He's asking for $9 million a year. Probably he's getting like, what, 8.25 right now or 8.5?
He's over 8 now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He deserves... What?
Based on his play the last couple years, I don't know if he deserves 9, but he'll probably get it. He's a big first-line center.
He doesn't deserve 9. He doesn't deserve 8. He doesn't deserve much. He's not a point per game.
No, he hasn't been good. He hasn't been good at all.
He has potential to be a point per game, and he should be a point per game, but he hasn't been, and he's been injured, granted. But, I mean... Asking 9 out of your home team is just saying that you want to leave. That's what it's saying.
It could be.
It's your home team. Your brother's playing there.
Yeah.
You're asking to leave. That's what you're doing. So he's gone.
Wow. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Because if he goes somewhere, that
Montreal
team is better. And that's a team that could very, very much use him. And that's a team that, with Stahl, that he could put them over the top. Yeah.
Another team that could use him is Nashville.
Nashville, he'd be phenomenal there. Yeah.
And your surprise team for the Met in the Eastern Conference.
I'm going to go...
There's only two to choose from.
My surprise team is Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. Why?
Because it's not a good surprise. And I'll tell you this, Pittsburgh is not a lock to win this division, to come out of the East, to be a Stanley Cup contender.
Okay.
And so the reason I'm going to say is they're a surprise is they are not going to be as phenomenal of a hockey team as everyone thinks they're going to be. This is not the Detroit fan in me. It's okay. I'm over 2009. It's cool. It's all right. But you look at their top six, phenomenal. It's amazing.
Yes.
You have two of the best players in the game.
Yes.
When Malkin is on his game, he's the best player in the game. Like, he could be that.
Body-wise.
He's so good.
Yeah, okay.
And you've added Kessel to the mix. You've still got Kunitz there, which is a good fit. You've got Dupuis, which is also a good fit. Like, they have a really great top six. Yes. Bottom six, not so great. You look at their back end, also not so great. You have Chris Letang, phenomenal hockey player, number one defenseman. Can he stay healthy? We hope so, especially given the injuries that he's had.
Yeah, he should be healthy this year. He should be healthy this year.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope he is. Him, Dupuis. You've also got Olimata.
Yeah.
He's the real deal.
Sure.
He's going to be a great hockey player, but again, yes, he hasn't played a lot of hockey.
True.
So how good is he going to be this year? Paul Martin is old. You've got a lot of kids back there that haven't played. And you've got Fleury, who had a great year last year.
And he's going to have a great year this year.
But again, we haven't seen Fleury. He was good in the playoffs again. I think we could sort of put that to bed.
Now. He's good. He's good.
Yeah, we could put that to bed. That's fine. But this is not a very deep team.
It's not a complete
team. When you look at
a
Washington, when you look at the Rangers, when you even look at, maybe not, but you look at the Rangers and Washington, they're much, much deeper than Pittsburgh. They're not as top heavy with, you know, obviously Malkin and Crosby, but I don't think this team is running away with anything here.
Look at Columbus.
Columbus is great. I think they're maybe a more rounded team.
Yes, definitely.
But they're not a more talented team.
No, although yeah,
because you can't be more talented than Kessel, yeah, Crosby, sure, Malkin. Sure, you just sure can't be.
But Johansson gives them a run for their money, though.
Yeah, and Johansson could be a Malkin one day. He could be that type of player. Is he going to be that dominant?
Yeah, that's my problem.
Maybe, but he has that body. He has that size.
He doesn't have the size. Center. Though. He doesn't have the size. He has the height, but he doesn't have the size.
He's 23. We'll see.
Malkin's huge, mate.
You know, Malkin is
Lemieux's size.
He's gotta have Gino's mother come over and cook him some Russian meals, and he'll put on the weight. He'll pack.
So
it
your surprise team is Pittsburgh. My surprise team would be, I thought you'd go Columbus or Philadelphia on this one.
No, my surprise team is Pittsburgh because I think people will be surprised that they aren't away with anything. They're gonna score a lot of goals. But the Pittsburgh, man, I'm telling you, every night it's gonna be 1980s hockey. We're gonna have retro hockey every game that Pittsburgh plays.
So
they're gonna score seven, but they're gonna give up 5-6 every game as well.
So basically, if you're a fantasy, pick some Pittsburgh players, you're gonna get some points.
Yeah, oh, for sure, for sure.
Let's move on to the NHL Western Conference. Let's go with Central Division. Who is first? Who is last? And who is your surprise team?
Wow, you know,
I think it's the slam dunk in first.
Because they are always in first.
Because they're always in first.
And because
they
always
have
go on
stability
these
up front,
incredibly deep playoff runs.
Exactly.
St. Louis. St. Yeah. Louis is finishing first.
It's done.
Why?
Just
because
bet on
they
that
always do.
If you can get someone to bet on this, just take that bet. St. Louis is finishing first in that division. Hands down.
Yeah.
Who can compete with St. Louis in first overall? Literally compete to get those points. Nashville,
yeah.
Chicago, that's it. Chicago, Nashville, St. Louis. St. Louis wins, mate.
They do. It's just really hard for me to picture Chicago caring about anything.
Exactly.
Like in January, in February, just going, dude, whatever. You take this game. We don't care.
It's all like, about getting 96 points. That's all we need.
Yeah, in the West, yeah, you might need a little bit more, but yeah, again, they're not quite the LA where let's just come in through the back door.
Yeah, but they
perform very well in the regular season as well, Chicago. But yeah, you gotta go St. Louis and then you'll probably have any combination of you're going to either have Nashville, Chicago, Chicago,
sure.
Nashville. So
St.
Louis,
so
St.
Louis
is my
number
team.
One. Who's the bottom feeder?
Colorado.
Yeah, again?
Again, sorry. They're not a bad team at
That's
all.
A big deal, though.
They're not a bad team, but this is a good division.
Man.
It's a good division.
All I got to say about you stating Colorado is Hua's job, I believe, should be, perhaps not, but should be on the line.
Yep, I don't know if he's on the hot seat right now, but he very well could be. You know, come, you know, January, if this team is not doing very well, it could be a different story there.
If he can't get this team in competition with Dallas or Minnesota or Winnipeg,
yeah,
what's he doing? Like, they got talent. They got Varlamov in nets, which is... He's an elite goaltender.
He's a good goaltender. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. They got Johnson and Tyson Berry on the back end. Not a great back end. But they've got one of the top tiers in terms of talent.
Yeah, Landeskog, Duchesne.
In the forward McKinnon. Position. Exactly.
You've still got guys like, you know, Tange, Iginla. Like, that's incredible veteran presence. They sure. can still play the game, right?
Exactly. At a high level, too.
Yeah.
And if you can't get at least competitive, then he's got to go.
Yeah. Well, and you said it there. You know, you've got your St. Louis, Nashville, and Chicago's. And
yeah,
then there's the
bottom.
And then there's the second, not the bottom, but there's the second tier, right? The Minnesota, mm-hmm. Chicago, Dallas, Colorado. So they're all going to be right there. I think Colorado's probably the odd team out. But maybe not by a lot. And even last year, you know, they finished 2 points behind Dallas, nine behind Winnipeg. So, you know, 9 points is a lot, obviously, when you miss a playoff spot. But, you know, they can improve upon that. We'll see. Ryan O'Reilly is not there anymore. That's a huge piece that's gone. Is
Mikhail
Gregorenko going to be Ryan O'Reilly? Probably not.
Mikhail Gregorenko isn't even Mikhail Gregorenko. Like, he's not even coming through on his own promise.
He really isn't.
Tell me about your surprise team then. Is it Minnesota?
Yeah, this one's hard.
Winnipeg or Dallas? Surprise. It's got to be surprise.
This is hard for regular season because this division just seems so kind of locked in, right, to what it is. I think maybe my surprise team, another surprise team, maybe not for a good reason, is Dallas. I don't know if Dallas makes the playoffs again.
I agree with you. I think they're just so talented, but they're not putting it together. And it's just, it's the interesting thing about what Jim Neal is doing. He's grabbing talent, and he's grabbing talent, and he's bringing talent in, and he's going with talent. But it goes about, you got to build a team with the right pieces. And is he doing that? Is he building a team with a proper first liner? Sure, Seguin. A proper second liner? A proper third, fourth? Is he surrounding that talent with the pieces that need that the team needs in order to succeed? It doesn't seem like it's happening.
That's sort of the Pittsburgh of the West for me. You're very top heavy.
That is
not
such
a whole
a good
lot
comparison.
On the bottom six. The blue line, there's a couple of good pieces, but overall, not a lot there yet. I think people will be surprised this year with Klingberg. John Klingberg is going to be a really good hockey player. This guy's 23, maybe 24. I think he's 23. Goaltending is obviously not up to Pittsburgh standards. Fleury is a fantastic goalie, and they don't have that in Dallas.
They should, though.
But they do have Stanley Cup winner Niemi. He's there.
But also Lehtinen should be better than he is.
He should
Come
be
on.
Better. And, you know, if you weren't made of glass, you probably would be better. But unfortunately, being made of glass, it doesn't really work in hockey. The guy is always injured. Always injured. And Niemi, great. Going to get you some wins in the regular season. But I think even if this team does make the playoffs, are either one of those goaltenders going to do it for you? Probably not.
No. Once in the playoffs, no. But
yeah.
But you're saying they're not even going to make the playoffs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even if they did, they're not your goaltenders, right? But my surprise team is them, because I think Winnipeg is going to continue to do what they're doing.
And Minnesota?
And I think Minnesota should be there.
So you're talking
I think they
Central
will finish ahead
the
of Dallas. Minnesota's
again?
A good team, really good team. It depends on Dubnyk, don't you think? Comes down to
well,
him.
Well, it's Dubnyk, but they do have Backstrom coming out there on the back end, which is, you know, saving grace, really. Because having Backstrom as your backup goalie, you're talking one of the best backups in the league. They're very, very safe on the back end.
Yeah, it could be, and that's a role that might suit him a little bit better, right? Because he's another guy that's been banged up a lot. And has missed a lot of hockey. So maybe coming in, playing that relief role, to your point, that could be a good role for him and he could excel there. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the Pacific Division. Who's your first, who's your last, and who's your surprise team?
Well, first and last is pretty easy. Yeah, I guess, I think of the Pacific. Anaheim.
Agreed.
Is going to run away with this thing again.
Agreed.
And you know what's crazy about Anaheim? What is insane and what just I don't understand and I'm so
what?
Jealous is they are so under the cap. Anaheim.
With like ridiculously two players,
under the cap.
With two players signed to ridiculous contracts.
Exactly. Yeah. And they have a good team. They have a solid team. They have a deep team. And they're way under the cap and they're going to run away with the Pacific.
And perhaps one of the three or four Stanley Cup favorites.
They are definitely up there, for sure. I think what you're going to see probably around the hockey world is you're going to see Anaheim, Tampa Bay. Those are going to be the sexy picks, for sure.
East-West, sure.
Yeah. So you're going to get Anaheim at first, I would think. Arizona... To me, that seems pretty obvious. God bless them, but
as the bottom feeders,
yeah.
That's another team, just like Carolina, that needs to do something.
Yeah,
that team needs to blow up. It's time to blow up. Blow it up. Blew it. Do it, or move to Quebec City.
yeah, they could. You've got Ty Domi there,
great player.
You've got Anthony Duclair,
okay player.
Who's the center they drafted? Kraus? Is it Kraus?
Sure. Lawson?
Yes. And then you've still got Ekman Larson there.
Amazing, you know, player.
Yeah. Phenomenal player. Outside of that, I mean, there's some decent players there. You know, Shane Doan can still really. Give you something. You've got Boddicker. Sure. You've got Vermette. But... You
pass
know,
him
I
on.
Mean,
Vermette was great in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what
but
I mean?
Like you said,
pass on Doan. Pass on Smith. Pass on Vermette. Pass them on. Let's go. Get these guys out of there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. You got to sort
some
of
draft picks.
Blow it up and start all over again. Yeah, you might as well, because what's the point? But, you know, look, if they finish last in the Pacific, that probably means they're finishing last in the West because they're going to be better than Colorado. Or a Dallas or Winnipeg or Minnesota in the
They're
Central.
Finishing last in the league.
And they should finish last in the league, and that's not a bad thing because you got this kid, Austin Matthews, coming up.
Who's from Arizona.
Who's from Arizona. And he's a pretty damn good hockey player himself. Yeah. So
give me your surprise team.
Surprise team, I think, this is tough.
This is very tough.
This is tough because, yeah, I think L.A. is going to bounce back.
Sure,
I think
agreed.
Edmonton will improve, but not enough to make the playoffs.
Agreed.
Wow. Is there a surprise team here?
If you're saying LA's in, Anaheim's in, so there's one more team in.
Yeah,
is it Calgary or San Jose? Because Vancouver's out.
Vancouver is out. They're not going to make it, yeah. I'm going to say Calgary is in.
That means
because
San Jose's out.
Calgary is in because they have a real captain. How about that? no, in all seriousness, I think Calgary is in. They have a phenomenal blue line.
Yes.
I know that they favor Ramo. I'm not sure why exactly, but if Hiller sticks around, they've got a really good goaltending duo. Up front, though, not quite the talent that San Jose has, but I think they do have better coaching in Calgary. I'm not sold on Pete DeBoer at all.
Well, he's
and
a one-year
I'm also
guy.
Not sold on San Jose sort of, you know, putting all that behind them and everything's great and let's move on. Because I think at the end of the day, there's still a little bit of, you know, there's an issue there still with the general manager in Marlowe and Thornton and some of the younger guys. And I don't know what's going on with that team.
Well,
and I also just don't trust that team. How many times have we said...
Yeah.
This is the year
yeah.
where they take the next step and they never do.
Yeah, yeah, definitely true.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's a surprise. I don't think there's a surprise in this division, really. The surprise for me would be if Edmonton made the playoffs, if Calgary totally dropped out, if LA dropped out, or if Vancouver made the playoffs. But yeah, I'd say I'd pick Calgary over San Jose.
Yeah, so you've got Anaheim, LA, and Calgary in.
Yeah.
And Vancouver, San Jose, Edmonton, Arizona out.
I know, it's insane.
Arizona with a big yes, but Vancouver, San Jose with, I think they're out. Okay. Interesting. For me, I've got Anaheim, LA, and I've got San Jose in. I've got Calgary out. And the only reason I got Calgary out is because that one line, that Hudler, that Monahan, that Johnny Hockey line, actually shot at a percentage that was way over norm. Their shooting percentage was way over norm, and I don't think they can reproduce what they've done in the previous year. And I think they're going to regress, which means the entire team is going to regress. Sure, they got one of the best D-lines in the entire league. Forget about the Western Conference. They got one of the best D-lines in the entire league. But they've got controversy out in the goaltending situation, and they've got barely anything outside that first line.
They've got some good pieces there in Sam Bennett, but
oh yes,
but this is his first year. This is first year of hockey, you know. They've got Frolik. I don't know if Frolik is a second line winger, really. Mm. They've got Backlund. So I'm with you. It's a top heavy team. Not a lot of depth up front. Phenomenal blue line. But maybe one of the best blue lines in all of hockey.
Nashville will give you a run, though.
Yeah. But, well, you know, I said maybe. It's up there, right? And then you've got solid goaltending. For me, San Jose just is sort of that.
But it ends up being that. It ends up being Calgary or San Jose. Pick your poison. But LA's in. Anaheim's in. Vancouver is out this year. And it's the first year they're out, which means a little bit of a reactionary kind of position. Edmonton's going to improve. Arizona is not. Let's do this, mate. Let's do this. Hockey.